Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth. Everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read the Psalm, Canticle 13, a song of praise. Glory to you, Lord God of our fathers.
You are worthy of praise. Glory to you.
Glory to you for the radiance of your holy name.
We will praise you and highly exalt you forever.
Glory to you in the splendor of your temple.
On the throne of your majesty, glory to you.
Glory to you seated between the cherubim.
We will praise you and highly exalt you forever.
Glory to you beholding the depths.
In the high vault of heaven, glory to you.
Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We will praise you and highly exalt you forever.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you,
Lord Christ.
Faith, Science, and Understanding. That's a book I finished reading just minutes before I started writing this. Well, to be honest, calling it reading gives me way too much credit. It's more like I plowed through the dense, dense language of physics and theology. The theology being just about as difficult to understand as the physics. Again, not quite true. Some of the physics terminology might as well have been written in hieroglyphics as far as I was concerned. I had read another book by John Polkinghorne, the author, when I was on sabbatical in 2005. We were in the guest house at a seminary in Oxfordshire, and don't get the idea that I was invited to do anything there. We were just staying in the guest house. But I had access to the library, and I read Science and Theology over several late nights there, because I didn't think I had lending privileges. Enough time had passed between then and now, 15 years, that when I pulled this one off my shelf at home, I'd forgotten how difficult it had been for me to get through that one. I mean, the subject really, really interests me, science and faith. And Polkinghorne is an impressive figure. And I love his writing and his thought. He's a fellow of Queen's College, Cambridge, and canon theologian of Liverpool, England. But still, dense stuff. Oh, sure, there were brief, shining moments of clarity. But mainly I was left feeling grateful that someone is doing the heavy lifting of bridging these two areas of human knowledge and inquiry. So just hold that in mind for a bit, if you will. This is, as we've been saying, Trinity Sunday, one of the very few feast days, and I'm tempted to say the only one in the Anglican tradition, I'm not certain about that, that celebrate a doctrine rather than a person or an event in our calendar. Today's readings are among the few scriptural references that put together that formula of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are about six of them, and about half of them are suspect of having been later tinkering with the text. But the words Holy Trinity do not appear at all in the Bible. We Christians have extrapolated that concept and coined the term based on disparate passages in Scripture and the overall sweep of our record of faith in a God who creates, redeems, and sanctifies. Trinitarian formulas, that Father, Son, Spirit, appear as early as the turn of the first century. But the first use of the term Trinity doesn't appear until about 100 years after that. It was finally formalized by the early ecumenical councils in the fourth century, Nicaea and Constantinople. And it wasn't just, oh yeah, let's put our stamp on that. There was a lot of wrangling before getting to that. And there still is between the Eastern and Western Church about exactly how we understand the Trinity. That's fodder for another sermon or conversation, perhaps. But so even though the evidence and support are present in the Bible, creating an official and universally accepted formulation took some time. It's understandable, since we still have difficulty describing or explaining it. I mean, the short form's a piece of cake. One God in three persons. Boom. It's only when someone asks, what does that mean, that it starts to get sticky. As with many things theological, it's easier to say what it's not than what it is. This is not about three gods. We're monotheists from way back, centuries before Jesus appeared on the scene. So, one God, check. Three persons, there's the rub. There are all kinds of heresies in that linguistic and philosophical and theological minefield. Here's a smattering of those. Modalism. Only different modes of the Godhead, not distinct personalities. Tritheism, well, self-explanatory, that business of three gods. Arianism, Christ is not fully divine. Docetism, the opposite of that, not really human. Ebionitism, I had to look it up, human only. Macedonianism, the Spirit is created, and you don't create God. Adoptionism. Jesus was totally human, a really good guy, and then adopted by God. Partialism. Each person is not God. It's only God when all three act together. See? Any questions? I'm glad I have you muted. We don't have time for that. Now is a good time. I told you I'd return to the Poking Horn book, and I am. He restates a standard theological construction, kenosis. It's a Greek word meaning that God, it's a Greek for emptying, meaning that God, we usually associate this with the person of Christ, that the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, emptied himself of enough of the divine qualities to be able to be a real live human being in the world. So there's another whole area to ponder, is how God is fully, how Jesus Christ is fully human and fully divine at the same time, even with this understanding of setting aside some of those divine qualities in order to experience human life fully. But I think a thing I hadn't heard about or read about or thought about in quite a while till reading this book was that kenosis refers to God in general, God in three persons, meaning that God has emptied the divine self of enough qualities to create a universe in which creatures have free will. If that had not happened, we would just be automatons and God would be moving us around on a chessboard. And as I said, that's particularly present in the person of Jesus, who was both God and human. A leading theory in the book, apart from that, and tentative meeting ground of science and faith, posits that God's creatures, by God's grace, collaborate in the unfolding of creation. I heartily subscribe to that notion and have been aware of that for as long as I've been doing this, or since seminary days. But I found Polkinghorne's survey of various takes on that topic fascinating, meaning that God not only allows us, encourages us, invites us to be part of this unfolding of creation. So all that is my tap dancing before getting to the real point here. The book is almost impenetrable by my meager intellect. Kind of like the doctrine of Trinity. Now, it's not, I believe, that God wants to confuse us. It's rather like the Old Testament reading for today, which Rachel read so well for us that we could really take that in, those days of creation, that long account of creation. It's meant to impress upon us that if we could understand and explain all of this, how things came to be, the nature of God, the presence of evil, all of it would be nothing more than the reach of our intellect and our imagination, our invention. And whatever else God is greater than that. By the way, in theology, as in science, our not understanding something fully does not mean that we should give up trying to understand. We should always be exploring both areas. And our knowledge does increase by God's grace. But God will always be greater than that. That's one important thing for us to ponder on this day. The other, or I should say an other, ponderable, is what this one God in three persons points toward. That our faith and our God are about relationship, specifically loving relationship. Because even God, so far as we understand, lives in relationship within the Godhead. God is love, and love depends upon and flourishes in relationship. For us, that means relationship with God, with each other, with everyone, including those we would call other, when we forget that there is no other, because all of us are children of God. I'll stop there, hoping I've navigated the spaces between those theological landmines. God is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him, all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We ask your prayers for God's people throughout all the world, for our presiding Bishop Michael, for our bishops Andy, Jeff, Kaya, Hector, and for our priest Michael. We ask your prayers for St. John's, Washington, D.C., and for Bishop Bubby. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all nations in the way of justice and peace, especially all the protesters and those who guard the peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us, especially Barbara DeHart celebrating her birthday, Deanna and Mike Thomas celebrating their anniversary, and those graduating from institutions of learning, especially Carrie Guthrie and Ethan Aguilar Long. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and those who comfort grave dangers by the nature of their work, who confront grave dangers by the nature of their work. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray for John, Barry, Morgan, Victoria, Kay, Bob, Richard, Shelley, Lee, the women in the Hutto facility, Brian, Eric, Jaden, James, Jenny, Dee, Miranda, Jackie, Dale, Leslie, Linda, James, Trevor, Ann, Nathan, Christy, Lynn, Ellie, Paul, Merle, June, Caitlin, Kevin, Chris, Alan, Marcel, Matt, Ashley, Patty, Mark, Lottie, Scott, Mark, those in the military, Kenyon, Sarah, Ann, Clay, Janice, Tyler, Karen, Cheryl, Cherise, Jonathan, all in harm's way, Curtis, Teresa, Martha and Larry, Barbara, the Bailey family, the Degater family, Bonnie and Ed, Allison, R.G., and all those for whom we now pray, either silently or aloud. Be with those who travel this week. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. We pray especially for Janet Moore, John Myers, Raymond Whitman, and those who have died from the coronavirus, and to your loving care, their families who mourn their passing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O most high, mighty, and merciful God, in this time of great sickness and great turmoil, we flee unto thee for succor. Deliver us, we beseech thee, from our peril. Give strength and skill to all those who minister to the sick and the troubled. Prosper the means made use of for their cure, and grant that perceiving how frail and uncertain our life is, we may apply our hearts unto that heavenly wisdom which leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace to you. So many of you. Look at us. Wow. So glad we're together.
Look, these are all the people.
Hello. Oops. Hello. There's Diane. Hi, Diane.
May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.